Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want you to know, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, friend, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man, Luke 19:10 tells us, came to seek and to save that which was lost. You may have started the day in the wrong column. You may have got up this morning, friend, on the wrong side of the cross, we'll say. But thank God for the grace of God, you can end up in the right category, in the right place, and headed for the right destination. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm always excited about the message, about the Word of God that God has laid on my heart. And, well, it's no different today than any other day that I say greetings to you that have chosen to listen to this little country preacher. And boy, I'm glad that you have. Debbie and I are always excited when we know you've tuned in and you're ready to just listen to what God has laid on our hearts. And we trust this privilege you've given to us is a blessing to you. We trust more than that to bring glory to God. That's what we're after here, friend. That's what this is about. Appreciate your part in this radio ministry, whatever that may mean to you and for you. Listen, without you, wouldn't do me any good to be doing what I'm doing. Wouldn't be any good for Debbie to be doing what she's doing. Look, we're in this together for the glory of God. Well, I've turned my Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. I'm going to be sharing the Word of God from you from there. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, actually. And I'll read down through and include verse 14 for the text passage. You pray for me as I pray for you. Before I do that, Debbie's got a song tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is Heaven Awaits, and it does those who are in the Lord. Are you? Well, Debbie gets back after the song. I'll share the message with you God has laid on my heart. I'd like to see you saved today, sir, ma'am, if you're not already that. And if you are, I hope you're blessed.
One day my labor down here will be o'er. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be across that stormy sea, where heaven waits me. Heaven awaits those whose trust is in the Lord. Heaven awaits those who believe. It's not a fairy tale, I know it must be real. Pilgrim down here, I'm just
What a great message, and what a great thing to know, friend, is that what awaits you in your eternity. We all have an eternity that's before us, friend. We need to make sure that it's the right one. We need to make sure, friend, listen, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you know Christ as your Savior, it's a place called heaven that He's gone to prepare for you. But if you reject Christ, this parable that we're going to look into today in the book of Matthew chapter 22 concludes with a statement of cast him into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that certainly isn't where you want to be in that day, in that great day, that eternal day. You don't want to be there. Well, in the book of Matthew chapter 22, going to begin in verse 1, the Word of God says this, and Jesus answered and spake unto them. Now what's the word again of parables? Now, I'm glad for chapters, and I'm just going to preach through this passage, okay? I'm just going to preach through this passage, and we'll talk to you today about an invitation you shouldn't refuse. An invitation you shouldn't refuse. There are times you get invited to certain things and certain opportunities become available that you should not participate in. You should not acquiesce to. You should say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. No, I'm sorry, I can't be there. No, I'm sorry, I can't make that. But this is an invitation, friend. Listen, sir, listen, ma'am, that you should not refuse. If you're lost and you're undone, you don't know for sure your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is an invitation that you ought not refuse. Now you can. Matter of fact, this parable will tell us that many people did, and it also will tell us about the consequences of those that did. That's right. This is a parable. Listen, this is a mighty parable. It's absolutely astounding to me. The more I read it, the more I consider it, the more I look at it, the greater that it becomes. But watch what Jesus said. He spake unto them in parables again. Now this parable links back up to the last two that we find in chapter 21. I love chapter breaks, is what I was going to tell you. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for chapters and verses. It makes it easy for you and I to find where whoever is reading and preaching and teaching from and talking from. It's easy for us to locate a passage of Scripture. It's easy for us to meet up with one another when it comes to looking at the Word of God. But if we're not careful, we'll allow chapter breaks to break the thought, the idea, the teaching and the truth of what Jesus was saying. And friend, listen, that causes a problem for us if we're not very, very careful. So this parable is the third in an order of three that Jesus gives. And it has to do, actually, with the nation of Israel, primarily. It has to do with the nation of Israel rejecting first the Father, and then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. As we look back, beginning at the parable of the two sons in verse 28 of chapter 21 and following down into this 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. But I want you to think, first of all, with me about the preparation. And he goes on to say, he said, the kingdom of heaven is, now it's like, well, I'll tell you that's a key to this parable. That's a key to understanding this parable. And if I was teaching, I'd take time to elaborate on that. I'd take time to let you understand that the way that I understand it. There's more here in this passage than I've got the ability to give to you. But I want you to know that's the key here. Man, it's an amazing key to this parable, and it's an amazing truth that God is communicating to us through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through this man by the name of Matthew, who was a Jew himself, speaking to the Jew. It's a mighty, mighty, mighty message that God has given to us today. But he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. This king, by the way, who is making the preparation, is depicted in this passage, is in this passage depicted as a Father-Son, and it is God Almighty. I mean, to tell you, this one who's making preparation for this great marriage festival, this great marriage feast, is none other than God Almighty. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, listen, friend, listen, they say, say when Merrill Lynch speaks, everybody listens. Well, I don't think that's true, by the way. Maybe everybody in the financial world might listen to Merrill Lynch. I even doubt that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When God speaks, you ought to pay attention. When God speaks to our heart through the Spirit, through the Word of God, we ought to pay attention. We ought to give Him full attention to what He's got to say. And He said this. He said, and the king, he said he made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. There has been a preparation made for you, sir. There's been a preparation made for you, ma'am. There's been a preparation made for me. In fact, it's been made for the whosoever's of this world. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, you know it, so do I, for God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There has been preparation, friend, for your soul and for mine, for your eternal destiny and mine, for your salvation and mine, for your deliverance from sin, its power, its penalty, and one day, by the grace of God, it's present. You, friend, listen, have been included in God's plan of salvation, that included God's Son to be seen as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You, friend, have been part of God's preparation and all. Listen to this. You've got a divine invitation. Oh, you've got an invitation you shouldn't refuse. In this parable, we see that God deals with a national, with God puts forth a national emphasis as well as an individual emphasis. Said, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, look at verses 3 and 4 and then verse 9. He said, and He sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden to the feast. In verse 4 again, He sent forth other servants saying. In verse 9, He said, go ye therefore to the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage. God, listen, sent His Son to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. God said, listen, David, I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to set your throne up in that kingdom. Your throne will be occupied by your sons. You'll never lack somebody to sit on that throne in the kingdom. Listen, it's connected also with the covenant that God gave to Abraham. It's connected to the covenant that God gave to the nation of Israel. And notice again, He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king which made a marriage or a supper for His Son. Oh, listen, God puts emphasis in this passage upon the nation of Israel. And God said, listen, fellas, I've sent you two invitations. Now, they tell me that according to Oriental and Eastern custom, when a feast was called for and when a feast was planned, a king or whomever, in this case it was a king, would send out two invitations. He'd send out an early invitation that was a little vague. It didn't have specific days. It didn't have specific time and all this kind of stuff. But he sent out an invitation. Hey, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? God sent to the nation of Israel His prophets. God sent to the nation of Israel His servant, John Baptist. God sent to the nation of Israel His son, whom they slew, by the way. God sent to the nation of Israel His prophets or His apostles. And I believe this is what He's talking about. And I believe He's saying, listen, the invitation came to you about a kingdom that I'm going to set up and I want you to be a part of. He sent it through the prophets, sent it through John the Baptist, and sent it through His son. John Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, after John's death, preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they rejected that message. They said no to the invitation. Listen to verse 3. The Bible said, and they would not come. Oh, isn't that amazing, friend? They heard it. They understood it. But they rejected it. Oh, they just flat out said no. They accepted the invitation as far as letting it come. But when it came time to fulfill it, they said no. Now watch how gracious God is. Watch how long-suffering God is. Watch how patient God is. Listen, the Bible said, you that are lost and undone, you that have heard the call of God on your soul and your life before, and yet you're trudging the pathway of sin, of death and destruction. The Bible said God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But hear me well. You ought not to refuse this invitation that's been given to you. Because when we get down to the last part of this passage, of this parable that Jesus has given, we'll find the consequences of that rejection to be not very good. Look what he said in verse 4 to the second. He said again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, he sent another group out called the apostles after the coming of the Holy Spirit on a day called Pentecost. God has cried out to the nation of Israel. And I believe with all of my heart, they could have accepted Christ. God would have set up the kingdom. But oh, listen, they rejected Him. And the final rejection of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit again, which is depicted in these three parables that begin in chapter 21 of Matthew at about verse 28. It is the rejecting of the Trinity and their offer of deliverance and salvation and the kingdom that was promised in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel itself. Boy, after Stephen preached his great message, we have record of in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. My, you know what happened, don't you? Oh, you know what happened. Listen, we have the preparation, the invitation, and we have the rejection. Listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to what the Word of God said. All things were ready. And the remnant, watch this, in verse 6, took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. Oh, how sad. How gross was their rejection. But oh, look now. Look at the determination. The determination of the King. The determination of the Father, of the Son. And listen to how sad this is, but how true. But when the King heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Oh, if this isn't a picture, if this isn't a prophecy, if this is not a warning, a friend of the judgment that fell upon the nation of Israel under Titus in 70 A.D., that great Roman general that came in, listen, and just simply raised the Temple Mount and the city of Jerusalem. Well, I don't know anything at all about the Word of God, about history, and about the prophecy of this great book. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You've been given an invitation you ought not refuse. Listen, you can refuse it if you choose to, but I beg you not to. You can say no to the advances of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. You can say no to what the Word of God is doing to you even now in your heart and in your mind. But I beg of you, sir, I beg of you, ma'am, you listen, surrender to God. You say yes to the Holy Spirit. You get somewhere before God and repent of your sin and say, I'm sorry that I failed you, rejected you, but today, by the grace of God, I receive you as my Savior. Oh, look, it goes on in verse 8 and 9. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they were bidden who were not worthy. He said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. I like the determination. Bless God of the King, don't you? He determined, listen now, to punish those that rejected his call. Those that rejected not only one call, but two calls. And they got their just reward. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. May I say this, listen, the kingdom that they rejected has just been postponed. It will come to fruition in just a few days, it seems like to me. But oh, look at the determination here of the king, not only to destroy those that reject him, but the determination he has, bless God, to fill up his place of feasting. Oh, what a great and mighty God that we have. But let's read on here. He said, so those servants went out on the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both good and bad. Listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. You don't get too bad for the grace of God. The Bible said where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. I believe this refers to the bidding the king gave to the servants to go out in the highways and to compel both the good and bad to come in. Hey, it's a picture of those who are moral and immoral. It's a picture of those who are good and those who aren't good. Now listen, the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But let's face it, there are some people not as immoral as others. I mean to tell you, there are some people that are pretty good people, but we're all sinners. We need the grace of God in our life. And all the determination by God Almighty was to fill up His banquet hall. But let's go on. And when the king listened, and the wedding was furnished with guests, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. And watch the progress of this. This is the inspection, by the way. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And watch this, he was speechless. Oh, listen, the king in that day, they tell me would provide some kind of a garment for every guest that he invited so that everybody when they got in there, thank God, to look the same. I believe this is a picture of the righteousness of Christ that God gives to those whom He calls and those who accept His invitation. I believe, bless God, it's that which God demands that man can not provide on his own. And this one man, listen, stood out like a sore thumb. The king saw him and he didn't call him out. He came to him. I look at the compassion that he had. I look at the love that he had. Look, though, at the entreaty that he made. He said, friend, wherefore art thou come like this? Why did you reject this? Why did you say no to what I'd provided for you? Do you know what? The rejection of that garment, friend, stood for the rejecting of the one who provided the garment. I'm telling you, it was a deliberate, conscious rejection of what God provided. Oh, sinner friend, listen. Listen, sinner friend, to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the call of God. God calls you out of darkness into light, and He's made every provision that needs to be made for you. I'm telling you, friend, listen. God has made a way for the best of us and the worst of us to end up in a place called heaven. But oh, look, I'm talking to you about an invitation you shouldn't refuse. Look at the conclusion of this. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, none of us know what that outer darkness is. None of us find it described in detail in the Word of God, but may I say to this, may I say this to that, bless God, look, it's an awful place. You don't want to go there. You don't want to end up there. You don't want to be one of those that you hear the king say, bind him in hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness all. And if that happens, listen to me, sir. Listen to me, ma'am. It won't be because you're a fornicator. It won't be because you're a liar, a thief, or a cheat. It won't be because, bless God, you're addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever the case may be, pornography or gambling. It'll be because you rejected the invitation of the Father to come to the marriage of His Son. Oh, you know what I'd do if I were you right now? I'd run to Him. Thank God I I'd fall before Him. I believe, listen, I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not trying to add anything to the Word of God nor this parable. And I believe that that man that the king approached would have said, "Oh, King, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I repent. I'll take what you offer. I just got it wrong when I first heard. I thought I was good enough to get in here and stay, but I find out that I was wrong." Do you know what? God will save you. God, listen, bless God. God's merciful. God's long-suffering, as I've already told you, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I'm talking to you about an invitation you shouldn't refuse. Listen, your eternal destiny is determined upon your response to this invitation how to come to the marriage supper of the King's Son. Oh, listen, the King's Son is Jesus, who died at Calvary, who was buried in a borrowed tomb, who resurrected on the third and appointed morning, who ascended back to the Father, who sent the Holy Spirit into this world. I bless God to convict men of their sins and convince them of their need of Jesus Christ. And He's calling you today. He's calling you, bless God, to something wonderful, to something marvelous, to something eternal. And I bid you, I beg you, I implore you, to say yes to the invitation of the King. Don't refuse Him. You just submit to Him and say, "All right, Lord, I'll take what you offer and I'll put on what you have." We'll praise the Lord for eternity together until the next
time.
You are
my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.